Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners. Welcome back to another great edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, live with NFL Explorer. I am your host, Lance Goodman, and I am ready to give you the expert fantasy football advice for champions that you are looking for. We are heading into week 9 of the NFL / fantasy football season, and look, the sense of urgency is up. If you are not one of those teams who, you know, are kind of at the head of your league or your division, you know, maybe an 8-0, a 7-1 type record, it should still be close. There's about 5 to 6 weeks left in your fantasy football regular season, depending on what type of league you have, what type of format is set up. But, again, I stress the importance. You know, I start hinting at it last week. Time is of the essence. These wins and losses, they do count. And these leagues usually do come down to, like it is in the NFL regular season, the last, you know, 1 or 2 weeks of the season. And, you know, a loss here, a loss there, which usually, you know, a wrong player in the lineup, being afraid to bench one of your studs, having the wrong guys in, you know, not utilizing the waiver wire, not pulling off some last-second trades, you know, all these things factor in into your weekly matchups. And so there's no more time to waste, and we're going to make sure that you are fully prepared for your Week 9 matchups. Before we get into the show, which, by the way, we have a great show, and if you haven't heard Extra Points before, I'm telling you, it's getting better and better each and every week. We've had a ton of special guests on the show, and I tell you, this is definitely one of the best places, period. I don't care, TV, radio, internet, website, ESPN, NFL Network, CBS, I don't care who it is. This is one of the best and most reliable, accurate, fact-based places that you are going to get information for fantasy football, point blank, period. If you don't believe me, go ahead and listen to one of the shows. Listen to this show today and match it up with some of your other favorite shows or shows that you watch, and let's see what the results bring. Let me go ahead and name drop all the places and tell you exactly how this thing goes here at NFL Exporter, so that way you can be fully in the loop and keep up with all the trending and latest information that goes on a weekly basis. Every Thursday, and excuse me, let me backtrack. Every Wednesday, the NFLExporter.com website is updated. There's tons of new content, updates, and information. And that website is a prelude to what goes on to the Thursday edition, which you're listening to right now, the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. The information on the website, along with the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, it is done podcast style for your listening convenience. So that means if you're at work, if you're driving in your car, if you're running errands, if you're in the gym, if you're relaxing, whatever it is that you're doing, it's as simple as hitting the play button and listening to expert analysis and expert fantasy advice. It is also Android-friendly for your mobile applications, your phone, your tablet, your laptop, whatever it is that you have going on, your MP3 player, your iPod. This show is made for you to take with you on the road, so you don't have to worry about a ton of reading, and you don't have to worry about being stuck in place. This is all for your listening convenience and enjoyment. Now, we update the website on Wednesdays. We do Extra Points on Thursday to give you enough time, and I am not taking credit by any means from any of my peers. There's a ton of great shows out there. There's a ton of great expert analysts. I work with a lot of them. I've had on the show Adam Rank from NFL Network. We've had on James Morris from NFL.com, Fantasy Football. We've had on Ashley, Courtney, Brandon from Her Fantasy Football. We've had on Michael Florio from Roto Experts. We've had on Jeremy Johnson from Game On TV. We've had on Mike Leinert from NFL Fantasy Football. So there's a ton of great resources and tools out there for you to use. But we update the website on Wednesdays. We do Extra Points on Thursday to make sure that you're not stuck in the box. The bottom line is you need to make sure you visit the website. You need to make sure that you listen to Extra Points before kickoff on Sunday. And then we are back on Monday to wrap up and review the week that was and get owners prepared for the Monday night football game, which a lot of times you need the extra points to get that victory, and that's exactly what we're here for. It's Thursday, Thursday night football, Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals. I am ready to get your fantasy football week started. Again, let me name drop, NFLExporter.com. That is our home. That is our hub. That should be your home. Make sure you get over there. Sign up for a free membership. It's as easy as clicking the login button, dropping an email address and your password, and you are in good business. You want to make sure to follow me on Twitter. Follow us at NFLExporter. You also want to send a friend request to facebook.com/NFLExporter. We are headed towards 2,000 fantasy owners. We just launched that page in July, and it's just taking off. We are on fire over there. You can go to that page right now, and we've got tons of owners, discussion boards, very interactive, and it gets you the advice that you need for your weekly matchups. The call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. I'm here. Feel free. Give me a call. Got questions? Need some advice? Want to know about a matchup? Want to talk some fantasy football? Please don't hesitate to pick up the phone and give me a call. Without further ado, let's get it started. And we are going to start, as I said, NFLExporter.com website was updated yesterday. Fresh new content and information. And that's the thing that you guys will certainly love about it. You know, we certainly keep up on trending topics and news. We deliver that in a unique, creative way. But we're thinking outside of the box. So we bring you a lot of data, a lot of information that you do not get on ESPN or NFL Network or some of these other channels. And so, again, you want to make sure you visit that website, you listen to this show before kickoff on Sunday. On the NFL Exporter website, on the homepage, we took a look at the top 10 players, the top 10 ranked players at each position, and this is all playing into next week what will be our halftime edition of the NFL Exporter .com website, as well as extra points. And so we've been kind of connecting the dots. We spent a lot of time in fantasy football training camp, and we're going to start with the quarterbacks, our top 10 ranked quarterbacks for the 2000 fantasy football season heading into week 9. We spent a lot of time in fantasy football training camp advising owners, do not reach for a quarterback. Plain and simple, you need to stack your lineup with studs. There are more than enough quarterbacks, especially on a weekly basis, that can get you 250 yards and two TDs. In most leagues, and some leagues with bonuses and stuff, that's a good 15 to 20 points. That is all you really need from that position. Yes, we love seeing Drew Brees last week light it up for 43 points, Eli Manning 36, things of that nature, but it's rare that it happens. You know, on most weeks, and I'm a guy, I'm about matchups, right? You look at the matchup. You play against Aaron Rodgers. You play against Tom Brady. Yeah, sure, Tom Brady might hit you up for 27 points. But if you stick in there the right quarterback this week, Jay Cutler, you know, at San Diego, shootout written all over that one, right? He'll get you 22, 23 points. So what, you end up being down or you lose that matchup maybe about 4 or 5 points, but you picked up Cutler off the waiver wire, or you picked up Cutler in late rounds as opposed to reaching for him, a quarterback, somebody like Andrew Luck. You know, everybody reached up for Luck this year, first round, second round, not giving owners the production. So spent a lot of time talking about it, and let's take a look and see what we got. So right now, for your top 10 quarterbacks, I'm looking at nothing but late round value. 7 out of your 10 top quarterbacks, Phillip Rivers, Carson Palmer, Eli Manning, Andy Dalton, Cam Newton, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, late round value, 6th, 7th, 8th round. Some of these guys even coming off the waiver wire. Now, sure, Tom Brady, he's number one. Drew Brees, he needed 7 TDs to find his way inside of the top 10. You did this a week ago. Drew Brees was not in your top 10. And Aaron Rodgers is ranked 7th. But those other 7 quarterbacks, late round value. And an honorable mention went to number 11, Blake Bortles of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So as you can see here, that is where the value was in this year's draft. Now, obviously, Ben Roethlisberger missed a lot of time. Tony Romo's been out. Both of those guys healthy. Certainly, they'd be in this mix as well. But the facts are the facts, and there was no need for you to reach for a quarterback. For those who reached up and grabbed Andrew Luck, now, we'll say this, okay? Luck, from a fantasy football standpoint, has certainly put up comparable numbers in a few matchups, but for the most part, he's been subpar. You're not getting what you're paid for. He missed a couple games, and we'll talk about that later with his matchup. But looks like it's going to be a rough week for him. Moving over to the running back position, I'm looking at the top 10 running backs in fantasy football right now. Late round value. I'm looking at 7 players. Devonta Freeman, Doug Martin, Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson, Danny Woodhead, Lamar Miller, Todd Gurley, late to mid-round value. You know, we stressed that, right? We all knew who the elite players was. We did mock drafts and fantasy football training camp. You know, we really combed through this thing, front, back, every angle that you could attack. And this was something that was key. We spent time talking about this, landing the right mid-level and late-round running backs. Now, the guys who were in the top 10 backs, who are currently in the top 10, Mark Ingram, he's done an excellent job. Adrian Peterson, without question. Unfortunately for Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Charles, season-ending injuries, but I think it goes to show you how productive both of those guys were being. Charles has missed about 3 games. He's still ranked 10th. And Le'Veon Bell missed 2 games, and he's inside the top 10 as well. Unfortunately, both of those guys are gone for the season. Mark Ingram, again, been very productive. He's been every bit of what you would expect from a running back, number 2. You probably picked him up second round, top half of the third round, depending on where you drafted. And Adrian Peterson, along with Le'Veon Bell, is a consensus, you know, number 1 and 2 overall pick. And he's producing. You know, the touchdowns are not there how you want, but he's up over 85 yards every single week. He's doing a great job. The rest of those guys, waiver wire pickups, mid-level, late-round value. Let's move over now to the wide receiver position. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We got a similar story and trend that is developing here. I'm looking at 6 wide receivers who are all late-round or mid-level wide receivers. And look, let's not get it twisted. The numbers shake out, right? So, you know, weeks 4 through 12, is usually when you start seeing the studs numbers start accumulating, because it's all about the end number, right? So, you know, what happens weeks 1 through 4 and then weeks 13 through 17? You know, times get a little tough. These division games, it's a little bit more on the line. You know, weather changes. A lot of things start factoring in. But weeks 4 through 12, that's where your money's earned, all right? Let's go through the top 10 wide receivers. Those 6 mid-level or late-round guys, DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Julian Edelman, Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen, Brandon Marshall, Steve Smith Sr. The big names who are currently in the top 10, we're talking about Julio Jones, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, A.J. Green. Now, obviously, Keenan Allen, Steve Smith Sr., you hate to see those guys go. Both of those guys playing at a very high level, really kind of on track to really have career years. And, you know, the torn Achilles for Smith and the kidney laceration for Allen, that's major. You know, that's major. You hate to see those guys go out, but it's part of the game, and we're going to have to make do. And so those are your top 10 fantasy wide receivers right now. Moving over to the tight end position, got a very similar story. 6 of your 10 tight ends. And again, this is a fickle position. So, you know, you certainly kind of take this one with a grain of salt. I think that we all kind of knew coming into the season that Gronkowski, that Olsen, that Eifert, Jimmy Graham, Martellus Bennett, those were most people's top 5 rated tight ends. we certainly heard murmurs. Shout out our guy, James Morris, Mr. Fantasy 23. He told us about Tyler Eifert coming into the season. And that's the key. You know, we work with real NFL correspondents. James Morris, he covers the Cincinnati Bengals. He covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been giving us great intel all year. And he called Tyler Eifert, told us it was not going to be a one-week wonder, that this guy is the real deal and this guy is worth getting on your team. And he was correct. Let's go ahead. Take a look real quick. Your top 10 tight ends coming into week 9. You've got, and this is not in order. So this is just telling you that, again, there's a lot of late round, and tight ends are always taking later rounds, right? But we're just kind of emphasizing the point. I think more than ever, you're seeing late round value in mid-level picks really, really, really be the bread and butter and the heart of your team this year, with so many studs being injured or underperforming for whatever reason. Gary Barnidge, Tyler Eifert, Ben Watson, Ladarius Green, Jordan Reed, Eric Ebron, all of those guys ranked inside of the top 10. The names we know and are all too familiar with: Rob Gronkowski, Greg Olsen, Travis Kelce, Jimmy Graham, they're inside the top. So, you know, when you take a look at that, you're talking about basically about 85% of your fantasy leaders right now. You know, and we might probably push that up to 90, right? I mean, we do understand that these elite guys are the smaller percentages. You know, they're going in the first 2 to 3 rounds, depending on how deep your league is. But it puts an emphasis on something else that we talked about. We talked about having a well roster, and we talked about quality depth, and we talked about landing the right mid-level running backs, the right mid-level wide receivers, and not reaching for quarterbacks. Now, if you were able to follow those instructions, and of course landing the right players, then you're in excellent shape right now, right? So, again, when we kind of look at the top 10 players at each position, you probably got about 4, 8. So basically, you're looking at a situation where you have about 30 late round, mid level waiver wire pickups that are in the top 10, and 10 to 12 elite players who are actually doing what they're supposed to do. All right, look, let's run to a quick break. Before we do that, don't forget to go to NFLExporter.com, go to the Week 9 Fantasy Football page. One of the interesting and great unique features that you will see there, we've got our Week 9 index with adjusted player ratings based on 2015 performance and this week's matchup. Tom Brady got a 98 overall rating at home this week against the Washington Redskins. We love Chris Ivory, 94 overall rating at home this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Alshon Jeffrey, I love the matchup this week, 93 overall rating at San Diego. Antonio Gates, bearing in mind that he's 100% healthy, you know, he's been trying to bounce back from that MCL sprain, but if so, 94 overall rating at home against Chicago, and I have not heard anything to tell me otherwise. Denver Broncos defense, you have to love them this week. But how about the New England Patriots defense at home? 93 overall rating against the Washington Redskins. And I love Connor Barth this week, huh? How about double digits every week for Barth since he's joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Oh, yeah, that's right. Double digits every single week for Connor Barth since he's joined the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And at home against the New York Giants, that one has a shootout. That one, the scoring should be up. I like him in double digits again this week. He's got a 91 overall rating at home against the New York Giants. Make sure to check that out. All right, let's run to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go back to NFLExporter.com. We're going to go back to that Week 9 Fantasy Football page. And there are a lot of players that I am focusing on that are going to have a major impact on your fantasy teams down the stretch. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Extra Points, the fantasy football show where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. It's going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right. Told you I would not keep you waiting too long. Call the number to the show, 626-213-5762. Facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Follow us on Twitter at NFL Exporter. The spelling, again, is NFLExporter. You're now listening to Extra Points. I'm your host, Lance Goodman. Let's hop back over to NFLExporter.com. Again, we update that website each and every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 4 o'clock on the P. And if you look at Week 9 fantasy football page, I'm going to go through a list of players here that are going to have a major impact on the rest of your fantasy football season, for better or for worse. That is on you. But mostly, if you listen to this show and you get with us on Twitter and you get with us on Facebook and you keep up with NFLExporter.com, you'll make the right decisions. Oh, yes, it's about championships. It's about champions. That is what we are all about over here. Darren McFadden, I'm going to start there, Dallas Cowboys. Look, in the preseason and fantasy football training camp, we talked about landing the right handcuffs. There was an NFL Exporter big board available. On that big board, I ranked the top handcuffs in fantasy football this year. Well, guess who happened to be inside of that top five? Darren McFadden of the Dallas Cowboys. And for what reasons, may you ask? Well, there was no guarantee that Joseph Randle was just going to be able to dominate like DeMarco Murray did. The Dallas Cowboys coming into the season boasted the best offensive line in football. And injuries occur, right? And so Darren McFadden was going to compete in training camp with Joe Randle, although Randle had the inside edge. That's exactly what happened. But Randle fell out of favor. For those of you who don't know, in that game against New Orleans, Randle was given specific instructions not to leap over the pile when going for goal line touchdowns, and in particularly, not to stretch the football out across the goal line. He did both. I don't know if you guys recall Jason Garrett chewing him a new one when he came to the sideline. Now, lucky for Randle, the touchdown stood. It was very close. But if you paid attention, Joseph Randle's plan increased. And then Lance Dunbar, the third down running back, he went down with an ACL injury. He was gone for the year. That immediately put Darren McFadden in as the third down running back, gave him a nice bump up in value, and he didn't do anything but come out that next week and catch 9 catches for 62 yards. PPR value right away. Joe Randle ends up suffering an oblique injury. Joe Randle gets in the off-the-field issues. He is no longer with the Dallas Cowboys. If you were like me, oh, yeah, I grabbed Joseph Randle. See, that was the key, right? You grabbed your top running backs. And then if you could not grab your own handcuff, just make sure that you grab one of the best handcuffs, right? So I didn't get Joe Randle, but I got Darren McFadden. And guess what? You've got yourself a starting running back. In a year that's been committee-based, and injury plagued, Darren McFadden for the Dallas Cowboys now is the starting running back, getting the full workload. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to finish in the top 15. That's the value that you're looking for. By the way, I mentioned this 3 weeks ago. Make sure if you haven't already, get your insurance policy. Oh, I've done it already. Go get Christian Michael. Right? Yes, we know that McFadden has had injury issues in the past. If that happens, because there's only two running backs in Dallas right now, McFadden and Michael. If something does happen to Darren McFadden, you don't want to get caught up in that waiver wire feeding frenzy. Get him early. But I love Darren McFadden. He's a dual threat. He's running hard. He's got the best offensive line in football, or one of the best offensive lines in football. They've been without Romo, so they're having to lean and rely on the run, and he's also catching out of the backfield. He's the goal line back. He's getting all of the work. Great job, Darren McFadden. If you don't have him, I'm letting you know he's not in the committee. Go look at his touches over the last couple weeks. Had a very solid game last week against a very tough Seattle Seahawks defense. Make it happen. If you can pull the deal for McFadden, make it happen. If you do, just grab Michael for your insurance policy. Eli Manning, Odell Beckham Jr., outstanding last week against the New Orleans Saints. They're going to be outstanding this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just be careful. I tried to sell Eli high this week, but too many good quarterbacks on the waiver wire. So I had to respect when the deal was turned down. But again, he should have a great game this week at Tampa Bay, barring any setbacks. Look at his schedule. I don't like it coming down the stretch. You know, it kills me. I don't know where or how anybody ever thought that the Giants could beat the New England Patriots. Seen that a couple weeks ago, the Patriots, well, I don't know, after they beat somebody, but that was the question, you know, who is New England the most likely to lose to? When I seen the New York Giants, I said, what is this? Who's, you know, what are people seeing? I don't get that. How? They can't run the football. Don't even get me started. Let me stick to fantasy football. I apologize. Make sure on the NFL Exporter website, go to Pure NFL. We do cover straight NFL football as well. 11 teams featured, real NFL media correspondent. Shout out Kevin Bowen from the Indianapolis Colts, Craig Davis, Buffalo Bills, Mike Leinart, Philadelphia Eagles, Jeremy Johnson, Minnesota Vikings, James Morris, Cincinnati Bengals. Let me stick to the script. I apologize. I just sometimes, you know, you hear the stuff from these guys on TV and you just, you know. Anyway, my point being with Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, be careful down the stretch. I don't like the matchups. After this week, Tampa Bay, New England, a bye, but the likes of the New York Jets, the likes of the Carolina Panthers, the likes of the Minnesota Vikings. And I know Carolina and Minnesota on the road. Top 10 defenses. Eli Manning, again, they can't run the football matchup base. He's done a great job thus far. Shaky, though, against Dallas. They're going to have to play Philly again. Philly's got their number. So be careful with Manning down the stretch. It's only a couple games that I see him being worthy. We'll have another alternative. No, Beckham's going to do fine. He's going to get the targets. But Eli Manning is really the one I'm concerned with. I just had to shout out ODB for the simple. And that's all I wanted to mention about him. You know, coming into the season, you know, a lot of question marks, one-hit wonder, one-year wonder. Can he do it again? He's going too high in drafts, this, that, and the other. This kid is the truth. 130 yards and 3 TDs led all receivers last week. And I expect another big day for him in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, speaking of Tampa Bay, you know, it's a catch-22 here. It's like this. Look, they lost Lewis Murphy. Vincent Jackson, he caught a knee injury a couple weeks ago. He's still trying to recover. He might be good to go this week. Also, Safarian Jenkins, he's proven to be injury prone. Mike Evans is really the only guy that they have, and you would think, like a DeAndre Hopkins out in Houston, very similar situation, that he get force-fed, that they just target him a lot, and based off of sheer volume and targets, that he's going to produce. Well, last week against Atlanta, you couldn't find Mike Evans. And I'm a little concerned, very little. I think, to me, this week is a tall tale of the tape. We all seen that New York Giants secondary. I'm not going to even put an S on there, right? I mean, guys just running left and right through the secondary, through the secondary, wide open. It's a joke. This Giants defense now starting to resemble the Giants defense from the end of last year that had no pass rush whatsoever and couldn't cover anybody. And so I'm going to be watching Mike Evans this week. I think he's a guy, again, based off of who else does Winston have? Now, what comes along with that a lot of times is the defense has figured that out themselves, and they'll just double him all day, and he can't get open. But he's going to impact your fantasy lineup one way or another because you can't afford to sit him, and he's either going to produce or he's not. And you're going to have some tough decisions to make, definitely matchup based. But I don't see any reason whatsoever in a game where the scoring should be up this week that Mike Evans does not have a huge football game. Chris Johnson, Arizona Cardinals, had a couple fumbles last week, but the number that you love is the 30 carries, 108 yards, high-powered offense. The only thing that's stopping Chris from really blowing up right now is the lack of touchdowns, and that's somewhat of a concern. The Cardinals probably passed more than They pass a lot. Let's put it that way. Inside the 10-yard line, they pass the football an awful lot. And David Johnson is a big hammer that certainly can vulture some touchdowns. So I like Chris Johnson, but be wary. You know, matchups against the Rams, matchups against the Seahawks. Check his schedule down the stretch. And just kind of be wary. You know, this is a time right now, if you are in need of some help at a particular position, don't be afraid to kind of ship some guys around, make some moves, change some things up. You're not going to find, look, those 30 carries speak volume, right? That's what it's all about. But at the same token, he's not getting in the end zone. And check the schedule. Be wary. He might be a guy, especially after depth, right? See, I'm talking to you about guys that you picked up in later rounds and off the waiver wires, so you may have some better options. Be flexible. Jimmy Graham, Marshawn Lynch, they're going to have an impact on your fantasy lineup. How so? Well, the Seahawks, we've heard it since training camp, got one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. Well, what does that mean? They can't block. Marshawn Lynch against Dallas, it's a dream matchup. Lynch couldn't find the end zone. I don't know, what do you have, 70 yards or something? Pathetic, come on. He's a guy for sure. You're not getting the return on your investment. And as I mentioned, he's going to face the Cardinals. He's going to face the Rams. Check the schedule, but he's going to get the carries, but they can't block. That's just the bottom line. And he's a guy that you can't afford to sit. So in these situations, looking to deal in a guy, right? We gotta uncondition our minds from these big names this year. He's not getting it done. Check your schedule, teams in your league. Wait for the right moment. Put a deal together. Get in some guys who are going to benefit you in the playoff rounds down the stretch run. Marshawn Lynch right now is probably averaging about 7 to 8 points a week. A lot of other options out there that can do that for you. You can probably bring in a couple players. See, I'm a guy about value, right? You deal Marshawn Lynch and some guy that you never use, get in a couple players that are quality, and if those players can provide you with 15 to 20 points a week, forget about Marshawn Lynch, right? He's going to get 20, you know, maybe once every four games, but get you the guys who are going to put the points on the board. Jimmy Graham, he seems to be trending up. He's in the top 10. It's been every other week. You know, 75 yards, you'll take it. But Seahawks not getting in the red zone enough. They're not getting in the red zone a lot. Hell, I guess we can say they're not even getting in the red zone at all. And it's just that offense this year, it's not clicking. And they got some tough defensive matchups. And so, again, you're probably stuck with them. The name is not high. But if he has a big game, again, look, you're only going to run into a handful of tight ends who are really going to hurt you on a week-to-week basis. So if you do trade away Jimmy Graham, and I know the tight end position is a premium, but again, you bring in another position that is going to assure you points. Why put Jimmy Graham in every week when he's 4 this week, 2 next week, and 11 next week, the week after? You could have had a guy getting you 10 to 12 points every week. I'm shouting out Todd Gurley. I just got to do it, you know. I mean, this kid's a beast. I think we're all going to be waiting to see how that matchup turns out. Just, we probably got the best two running backs in the NFL going head-to-head. That should be something. Tavon Austin. He's the only receiver really doing anything in St. Louis right now. So he's got value, and you need to look into finding a way to get him, you know. I mean, look, I can't sit up here and say, every single week, you know, he's assured to do A, B, C, and D. But I can tell you that the St. Louis Rams are running football for the most part and playing stout defense. But when they are looking for a big play in the passing game, or when a big play is made in the passing game, or when they're just looking for an explosive play, if it's not Todd Gurley, it's Tavon Austin. So he's got 7 touchdowns this year. Hello. Low-end deal, right? You got to be smart about this. Maybe pick them up. Maybe strike a deal. Search your waiver wire as well, right? People drop people on bye weeks. You know, somebody blows up for a week, they drop. Always search that waiver wire, but Austin's got some value. Just got to shout them out. I mean, he's on pace to end the year with about 12 or 13 touchdowns. He's going to be a lot better than a lot of these big-name receivers that we all spent a lot of money on in the first couple rounds of the draft. Alshon Jeffrey. Love what Alshon Jeffrey is doing for you right now. You know, wide receiver number one. Search, yes, indeed, pencil him in. He's getting the targets. He's talented. I mean, he's a guy weekly. I mean, he's one of your best bets every week to get, you know, 6 to 7 catches, upwards of 90 yards and a touchdown. There's no doubt about it. And good to see him back healthy for owners who were able to hold on to him. You got yourself a nice number one going. And, again, 3 overall rating. I love the matchup this week against the San Diego Chargers. That game should be a shootout. The numbers should be up. There's nobody on the Chargers that can check Alshon Jeffrey. Mr. Eddie Lacy. Boy, I tell you, he's got to get on a roll like right now. And that roll needs to continue throughout the end of the year, or he is really on the verge of being one of your biggest busts this year, point blank. As you heard me saying for weeks and weeks up until last week, he finally head coach to address it. He's overweight. That's a huge part of Lacy's problem. I've been saying it since about week 3. He's overweight. He's not as nimble and agile on his feet. If he can't break a tackle, he's going down. And usually they're gang tackling Marshawn Lynch. Eddie Lacy. I apologize. And so you got a decision to make on your hands. You know, you are either going to have to, it's hard, right? You can't bench a guy like that. You bench him, then he goes off for 30 points, and then you're kicking yourself, and then you're putting him in next week, and he's back down to 5. Inconsistent and just not getting the job done, bottom line. And so, look, Eddie Lacy's going to impact your lineup one way or another. You got to figure out what to do. Right now, Eddie Lacy's a flex at best, and that's just the reality of the situation. These next 3 players I love, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, Minnesota Vikings. What a blessing he was. I ended up having to drop Martavius Bryant. I didn't have to, but I had to drop a player because of some malfunctions on the NFL.com website that week, which left me I needed a player in basically to finish a deal. End up dropping Bryant. Next week he went off against Arizona. I regretted it, but my prayers were answered. Mr. Stephon Diggs got him on the team, and he's a number one wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. I still got him as a mid-level number two, but I think that his targets and his production have been number one wide receiver value for sure. And look, 12 targets last week. The bottom line is the guy is getting the targets. We always talk about in fantasy football, that's what matters, the targets, right? The targets. You know, guys are getting 18, 20 targets a game, 15 targets. They're going to eat. It's rare you see a guy get 15 targets and end up with 4 catches for 30 yards. No, that's not how it goes. Last week, Stephon Diggs, 12. He was quiet most of that game. But on target 10, it turned into a 40-yard TD, and lo and behold, now the floodgates are busted open. Love what that kid is doing. Tough matchup, though, this week against the Rams. Greg Olsen, like Julian Edelman, you know, every year I find a way to either pass up on them, I miss them, I don't make it my business to get them, and then the season rolls around, and here I am saying, boy, man, this guy, I wish I had Greg Olsen. Isn't this guy just a model of consistency and gets better every year in Carolina, right? I mean, 90 catches last year. Cam Newton's number one target. Man, this guy, he's just super productive. What a comfort it is to have him in your lineup at tight end. Jonathan Stewart. Yeah, he's not slow start. Was the first 5 games, couldn't even get more than 60 yards. And in the lead, in the game you expected most at Seattle, bust open for 79 yards, 2 rushing TDs, and he's been rolling ever since. I love what Jonathan Stewart is doing. As long as he can stay healthy, hello, that's the key word. So, Mike Tolbert, perhaps Fonzie Whitaker. I don't know who would come in the event that he gets hurt, but we're going to keep our fingers crossed. We want that to happen. Please, let's let Darren McFadden and John Stewart get through a full year healthy. But I love what John Stewart is doing. He's being a workhorse. He's giving you the production that you needed. Talking about mid-level running backs, we talked about who are you going to get, Chris Ivory, John Stewart, Carlos Hyde. You know, which mid-level running back, Joe Randall, who was going to be your guy? If you hung on to John Stewart, he's doing his thing. If you recall, at the end of last year, he was balling out, gave owners big-time value coming down and stretching the playoffs. He's got some tough matchups, but you have to like what you see there. A couple other guys, and then we're going to take a quick break. Mr. Greg LaFortune is going to be joining us here in a moment to take a look at our Week 9 top starts and sits. But I just want to throw out a couple quick names at you before we go to a break. And then I want you to go to NFLExporter.com and check it out for yourself. C.J. Spiller, shot in the arm. He's got value now. What happened? Kyrie Robinson, running back for the New Orleans Saints, went down, season-ending injury. Sounds real familiar to Darren McFadden over in Dallas, right? Now, all of a sudden, Spiller is the third down back there. He's going to be the guy in on passing formations. He's going to be the guy catching the screens, catching out of the backfield. We've seen him catch a touchdown last week. Get him on your team. Quality depth. Nice handcuff. PPR value. Hello. Jeremy Hill. Right? Slow start, shaky in between. Should have a big night tonight against the Cleveland Browns. That poor rushing defense. And, oh, by the way, our guy, James Morris, right? Right for the Cincinnati Bengals said, it's about that time, right? Hiller time is what we called it. We can expect to see more from Jeremy Hill coming down the stretch run. Last week was the first time that we've seen him dominate the carries like that. 15 for him, only one for Giovanni Bernard. But we got to give Gio his props. He turned three touches into 33 yards. He's a guy who knows how to get it done. But Jeremy Hill, yeah, the matchups are going to be favorable. You look at this week, Cleveland, next week, Houston. Yeah, this guy's definitely got some value coming down the stretch run. Low end, make a trade for him, right? Owners really don't know. Don't do it before it's too late. Scan through this list real quick. I love the weapons out in Jacksonville. Now, obviously, I kind of be skeptical this week playing the Jets. The Jets got thumped last week in Oakland. Defense was atrocious. I expect for that defense more than anything to be refocused. I know it had to be painful. I'm pretty sure Todd Bowles really drove the point home watching that film last week. So may not be the best matchup on paper for the Jacksonville Jaguars offense, but Bortles, Hearns, Robinson, a healthy Juju Thomas in the mix who, watch out, I'll talk to him when we get the matchups, and T.J. Yeldon. They've got a young nucleus of some big-time weapons down there, man. They solidify that offensive line, get that defense intact. Yeah, they're right on the Colts' heels. As a matter of fact, they should have beat the Colts early this year if it wasn't for their field goal kicker, missing some field goals. But the value's there. All of those guys, late round, waiver wire. Get one of those guys, man. All of those guys get the full workload. It's an assured thing. And Juju Thomas didn't do anything but bump up the value of Blake Bortles even more. Delanie Walker, if you can get him, get him. He's leading the Titans in targets every single week. And I'm not talking two or three. 11 targets. He's averaging about 9 to 10 targets per game, right? From the tight end position, that's what you want. If you can get Delanie Walker, get him. Sharkhandrick West, product of the system. I ain't hating, but obviously anybody running that. I mean, we've seen Niall Davis do it over the last couple years with Jamaal Charles out. Now Sharkhandrick West is doing it. And anytime that you can average 25 to 30 touches a game, I don't care who you are, you're going to be productive. That's why all of us owners were so frustrated with this running back committee garbage, because it's obvious if a guy can get the proper amount of carries or touches, he's going to produce the numbers. TV Johnson, San Diego Chargers, now with Keenan Allen gone, a bump up. I wouldn't get too overexcited. Phillip Rivers got a ton of guys he can throw the football to, but Stevie Johnson's value is certainly more now. That was my worry. He had the injury. He came back. I'm like, oh, Lord, they got Gates. They got Allen. He's throwing to Ladarius Green. They got Woodhead. They got Malcolm Floyd. Phillip will throw it to anybody, but certainly Johnson will be starting now opposite Malcolm Floyd, and he'll get the looks. last name we'll throw at you before we get out of here, Shady McCoy. You know, I think it's put up or shut up time for him right now. You know, it's kind of just been average at best this year. He's fully healthy, off of a bye week. The Bills want to run the football. He's going to be an integral part of it. Is Carlos Williams going to continue to eat into his work in the red zone, in the goal line? We'll see this week, or maybe we won't. That game could be low scoring, kind of funny, but Shady McCoy is a guy that we've got to keep a close eye on because, again, he's going to either make you or break you. You can't bench him. So you're either going to have to play him and live with the numbers, or you're going to have to ship him out. But you can't afford to bench him. That's a decision you have to make. If you listen to Extra Points, you'll know what to do on a weekly basis. All right, NFL exporter Lance Goodman, let's run to a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Greg LaFortune with us. We'll be ready to talk our top starts and sits for Week 9 before we break down the matchups. We're getting ready for Thursday Night Football, Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns. Definitely a lot of players in this one, majority for the Cincinnati Bengals. Outside of Gary Barnage, not quite sure who anybody has going tonight, especially with Johnny Manziel at quarterback. We'll be right back after this message. Don't go anywhere. It's Extra Points. All right, everyone. Welcome back to Extra Points, NFL Exporter. Again, we're getting ready for Thursday Night Football. Cincinnati Bengals, Cleveland Browns. Entertaining is probably not the right word to use, so let's just hope that this game is interesting long enough. Let's hope that Johnny No Football doesn't come out here and stink up the joint again. Let's hope that this thing can be somewhat competitive. You know, in-state Ohio rivalry, it should, but these two teams are obviously going in opposite directions. But the Browns should be up for this one, as our guy James Morris mentioned. This is kind of like the Browns Super Bowl, so we shall see. Once again, the website is NFLExporter.com. Make sure you get with us on Facebook.com/NFLExporter. Follow us on Twitter at NFLExporter. Let's go ahead now and talk Week 9 Top 10 Starts and Sits. Let's bring in our guy, Greg LaFortune. You can find Greg on Twitter. You can also find Greg on Facebook. He'll make sure to leave you his tags. But you can also find Greg on NFLExporter.com. Go to the Week 9 Fantasy Football page. Scroll down. You'll see his Top 10 Start and Sits of the Weekend. Me and Greg get on here weekly, discuss, debate, and make sure that you owners have what you need. So, Greg, how you doing? How's everything going today?
Everything's good, Lance. How about you?
Hey, no complaints. No complaints. And so let's get right into it. Go ahead and tell us, start things off with your top starts of the week.
Okay. I'm loving Eli Manning this week against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has got a horrible defense. Their last four games, they've given up 37, 31 twice, and 20. They gave up the third most fantasy points to a quarterback, and after last week, what Eli did, he's red hot. I think you got to roll with him this week.
Completely. Like you said, red hot. Should be feeling good. ODB is healthy. And as you mentioned, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run defense. Very respectable. Very poor secondary. Definitely. He's one of your best starts at quarterback this week. Who you got next, Greg?
I got Ben Roethlisberger versus Oakland. Oakland's given up about 300 yards a game passing, six most points to quarterbacks in fantasy. And Ben's back. He looked okay last week before they lost Le'Veon Bell. But in the first couple of weeks, him and D'Angelo had their thing going, and Ben was rolling up some serious points. So I'm going to roll with Ben this week against a very questionable Oakland secondary.
Yeah, without doubt. I have no concerns about that matchup. I think the question mark is just going to be making sure that Ben can be mobile. He said that he trusted his knee, but you could see sometimes that he did not trust his knee. But the matchup is very favorable. Like you said, the Raiders, another team, though, you know, very underrated. They're ranked second in the NFL against the run right now. And so I think that's a matchup that'll be real interesting to see how the Steelers try to attack that through the air. Certainly would be the best way to do so. And with Brown healthy, Martavius Bryant, those guys, I think Big Ben at home in a game that the Steelers really need to win is definitely a good start this week. Who you got next, Greg?
Okay, me and probably the rest of the world love Devontae Freeman against San Fran this week. San Fran's got a horrible run D. They give up the third most points fantasy-wise to running backs. And, I mean, Devontae Freeman, he's had, in his last four games, he's had 109 touches. I mean, that's amazing. Like you said earlier, if you give a guy the touches, he's going to produce, and Freeman is a madman this year. He's getting all the touches, so I'm loving Devontae Freeman. Like I said, probably me and the rest of the world.
Oh, without question, yeah. He's got a 95 overall rating this week in that matchup, and I think more than anything, that's going to help it even more, Blaine Gabbertson. So, you know, the opportunity should definitely be a plenty. What you got next, Greg?
I got D'Angelo Williams. Yes, Oakland, once again. D'Angelo, like Oakland, like you said, Oakland's got a rough defense against the run. But when D'Angelo was in there for 2 weeks, he had 46 touches, and he had 43 fantasy points out of 46 touches. I mean, he was leading the league in rushing when he played the first two games. I like him. I think he fits really good in that offense, and I think Big Ben will play a little better at using D'Angelo as a little check down back, too, without Le'Veon Bell being in there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that that is the thing to watch for is he's a dual threat guy. And he's getting all the work. Like you said, they don't have anybody behind him. I don't know what happened with Dre Archer from last year. You know, he was kind of getting some mumbles. But, no, you're exactly right. I think just based on his dual threat ability, he may not get a ton of yards on the ground, but he's going to get goal line carries. And underneath, he's certainly a problem for linebackers. So I think it's going to be interesting to see if he doesn't get in the end zone, is he able to get the 100 all-purpose yards. That's going to be one of the more funner games to watch this week.
Definitely, I agree. My next is Odell Beckham. Maybe an obvious choice, I don't know, but he's really coming around lately. I mean, he's the big game last week, and he's got Tampa Bay, who give up the third most points to wide receivers fantasy-wise. I'm loving ODB this week.
Totally. I mean, it's just these two matchups are like, you know, kind of hard sometimes. You know, your stud gets a couple tough matchups. You know, really didn't do too much against Dallas after he got the touchdown. Against Philly, he was held in check. But, man, like you said, sweet matchups last week against New Orleans, dominated that one. And I don't see anything stopping them this week as well.
Oh, I agree. My next is Mike Evans against the Giants. Giants surprisingly give up the fifth most points to wide receiver in fantasy. And Mike Evans is really coming around. He's kind of getting a rapport with Winston lately. Last 2 weeks, he's had 25 targets. And, I mean, he's finally healthy. He had a crappy game last week. He was a little nicked up, but he practiced the full week. I think he's going to get in there, and him and Winston are going to hook up a couple of times.
Yeah, Greg, I don't think we should be surprised about the Giants' defense. I think that the teams that they played, maybe to begin the season, with the exception of Atlanta, just really didn't do a lot through the air. I think like the Redskins, you know, like they kind of started off better than we expected. We all kind of remember what happened at the end of last year. But I think this Giants defense is starting to show its true colors. No pass rush and a secondary of no-namers, with the exceptions of Rodgers Cromartie. And I'm like you. I was speaking about that, Greg. I want to see, you know, Mike Evans. I mean, it's like a catch-22. Like right now, with no Lewis Murphy, with Vincent Jackson banged up, I think Safarian Jenkins is supposed to be back. But he's like the only guy they have. So there's no reason he shouldn't get a ton of targets and be productive. But last week in Atlanta, they pretty much double-covered him the whole game, and he couldn't do much. But you expect for the number, you know, the scoring to be up, for this to be a shootout. Like you, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have a big game this week.
I agree. My next is Jarvis Landry at Buffalo. The Buffalo's got an okay D, but Landry seems to play good. He's averaged like 8 catches against Buffalo in his career. They played once already this year. He had 8 catches for 67. And they give him a couple of rushes a game, too. So there's always a shot at a touchdown. I like Jarvis Landry. I think Tannehill's playing a little better. Plus, it's a big division game that they're going to need. So I think Landry's going to get some points this week.
Yeah, you know, this is probably the first one this week, Greg. You know, we always have a couple that we cordially bump heads on. And so I think, you know, I would say on the positive note for Landry, he's certainly proven that he's a guy who gets to targets weekly. Even in a tough game last week, he was able to haul in 6 or 8 for 71 yards. But this is a road game at Buffalo, division rival. You know, to me, this one kind of has 20 to 17 kind of written on it. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think it really depends on, you know, what other options you have available. And, you know, Bills coming off a bye week. Like I said, Miami fresh off getting trampled. it'll be interesting to see how it works out. You certainly could have worse options, but there could be some better ones too. We'll definitely come back and check and see how he does.
Definitely, definitely. My next, going to the tight ends, I love Ben Watson this week against Tennessee. Ben Watson, the last 3 weeks, he's at 27 targets, 23 catches for 333 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those are like A.J. Green numbers out of a tight end. I'm loving him this week. He's the new Jimmy Graham, I think. I think they finally found somebody that's going to take that spot with catches like Jimmy did. So, loving Ben Watson this week.
Believable, Greg. I mean, it just baffles me. I mean, we all thought coming into the season perhaps Josh Hill, you know, was going to be the guy. You know, Hill
that's
a little bit better of a receiver.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, you know, Ben Watson more of a block, more of a blocker. And even when he had the game against Atlanta, I just said to myself, you know what, Drew Brees found a matchup that he wanted to exploit. Obviously, Atlanta's safeties haven't been challenged. No, it's just 1 week. And then, you know, the next week, you know, he catches the fake punt against Indianapolis and does a little something. And then last week, and so, like you, Greg, I mean, one of the top waiver wires now, and boy, all of a sudden, you know, I mean, I thought he was retired. Like he's like maybe a veteran. And he's 13. Just unbelievable that this guy has made a resurgence. And like you said, Greg, he's obviously a guy that Drew Brees has gotten very, very comfortable with.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, he was with New England forever. I thought he was like 50 before he actually broke out like 3 games ago. You know, he's been around teams forever. And he's finally found a spot, and Brees loves him. I mean, he catches everything thrown his way. Like I said, catches 23 out of the 27 targets. That's beautiful. So
nice.
Brees,
nice.
Quarterback, loves a guy that can catch, you know. So,
right.
All right, my next guy up is Heath Miller against Oakland. Pretty widely known that Oakland is horrible against the tight end. And last week he had 10 catches. Big Ben's back. You know, Big Ben loves him, so I think Heath Miller's going to have a pretty big game. And he's available on most of your waiver wires right now. So,
no, I agree, Greg. I think the thing that's really helping him out as well is that no number three receiver. Like Marcus Wheaton really just flaked out this year. You know, supposed to be a three-receiver attack with Bryant,
yeah.
Brown, and Wheaton. And so I think with Wheaton underachieving, you know, Hayward Bay, he's kind of there. Some games he's not. But especially with Le'Veon Bell out, I couldn't agree with you more. I think now that defenses are going to have to respect Brown and Bryant on the outside. And, Heath and Ben, they've been together for, you know, close to like, you know, 8-9 years now. The comfort level's there. Kind of like the same relationship you see with Romo and Witten. That trust is there. He knows where this guy is at all times and likes to use him in the red zone and on two-point conversion. So, like you, I like Heath Miller. The Raiders linebackers are more run stoppers than guys who can drop back into coverage.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely got a nice rapport with Ben, and like I said, he's available in most leagues, so go out and grab him. I mean, he's going to have a big week, I think. Okay, next is Carolina's defense against Green Bay. I don't know, Green Bay showed some weakness. They played Rodgers pretty good, Denver played Rodgers pretty tough last week, and Carolina's, like, this close to being as good as Denver, in my opinion. Last 2 weeks, they got 4 picks and a fumble recovery. They're really getting after it. They got great corners. They got nice little pass rush. They got good linebackers. I mean, I think Green Bay is going to get shut down for the second week in a row. So I'm loving Carolina's D this week.
Yeah, I'll play devil's advocate on this one. I think for me, you know, the matchup is the concern. I think that Green Bay's defense can cause Cam Newton and Carolina's offense some problems, which will lead to a lot of opportunities for Green Bay. But Green Bay having trouble running the football. And, you know, I just think it's going to be a better performance. So, you know, I probably would lower my expectations to maybe about 6 points. So, you know, 6 or 7 points. I think it just depends on what you need in your lineup. But their defense is certainly trending up, and this is going to be a great matchup that we're all going to be looking to see. You know, how does Aaron Rodgers and that Green Bay Packers offense rebound? Another tough road game at Carolina.
Definitely. Okay, my next defense that I like this week is Cincy tonight against Cleveland. Probably me and the rest of the world. I mean, on paper, all signs point to just a blowout tonight. I mean, Cincy's got 4 picks in their last 2. Manziel with the new quarterback. I mean, he could make a little noise. I actually hope he does. I'm kind of rooting for him. He was awesome in college. I'd like to see him make it in the pros, and they're saying this is kind of his audition, but I don't know. Since he's got a really tough D, and Cleveland's got, like, little or no running game, so I think they're going to stack the box. They're going to just try and get after Manziel, try and let him try and run it and just see the pass really good, and I see a couple of pick sixes in tonight's game for Cincy.
Yeah, all you have to do for me is say Johnny Manziel. We follow him. He's a guy that you stream defenses, and you hear Johnny's in, and you're looking to get that defense. I grabbed the Bengals in my ESPN league this week, so until further notice, that's definitely one of the strongest starts of the week.
Definitely, we definitely agree on that one. All right, now moving over to the guys that I don't like. Got some surprises on here. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I would look to start somebody other than Aaron Rodgers this week against Carolina. Carolina's only allowed 7 passing touchdowns all year. They've only given up 255 yards or more once all year. And, I mean, they're playing really good. They're at home. It's a big game, big statement game for them. So I think Rodgers is going to have a bad day.
Yeah, I you know what? Last week, I advised owners. We actually had an owner in one of our book leagues that really came up taking my advice. She went with Brian Hoyer over Aaron Rodgers, stuck Michael Floyd in from the Cardinals for a week. We had about 3 or 4 guys where we just mixed it up and kind of, you know, went on some matchups. And I think the key this week, Greg, is if you have somebody better than Aaron Rodgers with a couple bye guys being on week, that may be difficult to do. But if you can grab Jay Cutler, and this is my thinking, Greg, and this is how I try to advise owners, look, Aaron Rodgers this week, unless he just has one of those magical days, he's probably going to be in the, 250-yard, 2 TD, 1 interception range, which is probably amounting to, 15, 18 points, depending on your league. And a guy like Jay Cutler, who very likely is going to be in a shootout at San Diego, Jameis Winston, he's under the radar. Go look at the numbers, at home against the Giants, if the scoring gets up in that game. So if you have a better option than Aaron Rodgers, don't be afraid to sit him. Just make sure you calculate, who you put in there. Again, a guy like Alex Smith, who's usually reliable, Brian Hoyer, we just mentioned, those guys are on bye. But if you can get Jay Cutler, and particularly if you can get Jameis Winston, don't be afraid to play him in place of Aaron Rodgers. The numbers are probably going to be very similar.
I definitely agree, and I agree with you on Winston, too. I like what I see out of him. He's getting really consistent. Looks really comfortable, taking off with the ball every now and then, too, so you always got the chance at a rushing touchdown. He's definitely playing good. Okay, my next hit would be Andrew Luck against Denver. I mean, that Denver D, you saw what they did last week. T.Y. Hilton's a little banged up, so I don't know if they'll have him. He hasn't practiced yet this week. We're going to find out tomorrow if he plays at all. They just destroyed Aaron Rodgers last week. So I'm really not liking Luck.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I mean, Hilton, he's been in the boot all week long. We actually have our Pure NFL segment with Colts media correspondent Kevin Bowen this Saturday, so we'll really be able to give you Saturday we'll be able to talk to Kevin and give owners how realistic is it that Hilton's going to play. But I can tell you one thing: if he's not at 100% or he doesn't play, you sit Andrew Luck without thinking twice. Donta Moncrief is the only other receiver they have with any type of respectable speed. Philip Dorsett, he's out injured, and that's going to leave you with a slow Andre Johnson and some slow tight ends. And like Greg said, we see. I don't think we can still believe what we've seen, but we've seen the Denver defense just absolutely just put the clamps. And we talked about that. We said it's kind of a similar situation. We said, look, James Jones is not fast. You can eliminate him out of the equation. Chris Harris or whoever, they're going to be stuck to him. And Randall Cobb was the only other guy. Devonta Adams, slow. They got no problems staying stride with these guys. And you're looking at a similar situation this week in Indianapolis.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, on to the running backs I don't like this week. One was DeMarco Murray playing Dallas. Dallas looked really good last week against Seattle's good running game. I mean, they shut down Lynch to the to an extent. I mean, maybe 70-something yards, I believe he had. I think they're going to stack the box and see if the quarterback can just beat him, because they definitely shut down the run game last week. They got a good run D.
Isn't that sad? You can't even remember Sam Bradford's name, Greg. Isn't that sad?
I almost said Nick Foles, man. They're game managers. They never make the headlines. They're like the they're the 9-to-5ers, the white collar, the blue collar guys, you know?
Oh, man, that is absolutely horrible. Well, I'll tell you this much, Greg. Unfortunately for the Cowboys and the Eagles, they're having those struggles because those defenses are playing extreme. I mean, Dallas's defense has played extremely well this year. Their offense, definitely, like the Eagles, are continually keeping them behind the eight ball and keeping them on the football field. But I agree. I mean, Dallas's defense has been very solid this year, and I'm pretty sure they're going to have a lot of pride trying not to let DeMarco come in there and walk all over them.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Greg Hardy, say what you want about him, but on the football field, I mean, the man's a monster. You got to see. Everybody sees that. I mean, he's a monster. Okay, my next
sir.
Is Latavius Murray. He's playing Pitt this week. Pitt plays very tough at home. They give up the fourth fewest points to running backs. And, I mean, that's even after they gave up a couple of bad games the last couple of weeks. They're still fourth fewest. So I'm not liking Latavius Murray this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, Pittsburgh has definitely been one of the better defenses against the run. I think you look at last week, what they did against Cincinnati the week before. They held the Cardinals in check. But the Raiders have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And Murray, I really like Latavius Murray. That's 6'3", 228, real agile. I think this one is tricky because if it gets to be into a shootout, then he'll almost likely be guaranteed a goal line opportunity or two. So he's a guy I do not think that you can sit. I think you have to put him at flex. And again, Greg is acknowledging that he does not like him. So he's not saying just flat out sit him. But no, against the run, Pittsburgh is solid. But, man, I tell you, Murray just seems like a guy who, man, he's finding his groove. You know, that offensive line is getting it done. And I think that's going to be a great matchup to see Murray or D'Angelo Williams, which one of those guys is able to get more done on the ground.
Definitely, definitely. On the receivers, same reason I don't like Rodgers. I don't like Randall Cobb this week. He's probably going to get Josh Norman on him this week. And, I mean, Randall Cobb, even in his last 4 weeks, he's got 16 catches and 88 yards, no touchdowns, last 4 weeks. He's been slumping. I mean, and Rodgers has actually been slumping too. Rodgers has thrown for over 255 one time all year. I mean, he's a great quarterback, but he's definitely slumping. So, and this week against Carolina, I do not like Cobb because he's going to draw Josh Norman, and we all know what that means.
Yeah. I mean, wow, that's staggering. 16 catches for 88 yards. I mean, what a low yard per reception. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, he's been one of the main topics, you know, and players and owners have been overly concerned about. And, I mean, he's going to break out one of these games. I don't know if this is the week, but he's a guy right now that you might be able to buy for low. Check his upcoming schedule. A lot of this is schedule based, though. I mean, look, you knew he wasn't going to eat against Denver. Carolina's rough. The Rams, as we see now, you know, their defense travels. He had a bad game. I think the one that slipped through the cracks was we didn't understand how he didn't perform against the San Diego Chargers. I think that's the one that if he could have had the type of game we expected, it wouldn't make his last month or five straight games look so bad. But Randall Cobb, look, he's healthy. He's motivated. So, again, he might be a guy right now that you can strike a deal for. You know, trade deadline's coming up. He might be a guy you can make a deal for right now, suffer through this week, and then look ahead possibly to brighter days.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, next I got Allen Robinson playing the Jets at New York. For one, he's probably going to draw Darrelle Revis on him all day, and that we all know that's no good. And I'm thinking that last week against what the Oakland did to the Jets, that was unbelievable. I think the coach went up one side of that defense and down the other. They're playing at home this week. I think they get back to doing what the Jets do, and that's shutting down the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, no doubt. It's been a proven commodity this year. Whoever has visited Revis Island this year, It's been nothing. Last week, and I just have to give guys their credit. You know, Josh Norman, Tlaib, Chris Harris, you know, any defensive backs in the league who are making it happen. I mean, these guys are not getting pass interference calls. They're able to be physical. They can play off receivers. They can get up in press coverage. And last week, it wasn't a situation where Derek Carr was not targeting Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper had 9 targets, and Revis held him for 5 for 46. And I don't recall a receiver this year, maybe with the exception of Edelman. You know, I know he was kind of held in check too, but the trend has been established. We're going into week 9. If you're taking a trip to Revis Island, you might as well get some clothes to kind of go on vacation, because you're not going to be very productive.
That's nice. Well put. Well put. Okay, next I got Jason Witten. I would definitely look for better options than him. Philly actually is the best team against the tight end fantasy point wise. And until Romo comes back, I would keep Witten benched, actually, because he doesn't have a rapport with the new quarterback, and either one that they throw in there is really not that good. So I'm just not liking Witten this week.
Now, I'm with you. Enough said. I think he might be another guy. You may be interested in trading low if you got a tight end who's not doing well. Then having Witten right now is not going to hurt you. You may even wait till next week, but I say get him before Romo comes back. Understand this about the Dallas Cowboys. They're very likely, when Romo comes back, they're probably going to be a game or two out of first place in their division. They're going to be in a situation where they have to win pretty much every single game to win their division, which is going to be the easiest way to get into the playoffs. And that means that there's going to be a lot of using Jason Witten. He's a guy who's been used more to block, but when they need to win games, he's heavily involved. So I'm just putting him on the radar about another guy who doesn't have much value. You can probably find on the waiver wire and stash, or maybe get him next week, a week ahead of Romo. And he may be a guy who can pay some dividends for you down the stretch.
It's exactly what you said about Witten. You could say about Heath Miller, too. I mean, without Big Ben in there, Heath Miller is usually on the waiver wire, to tell you the truth. But with Big Ben in there and Romo in there, Witten and Heath Miller, they're definitely different people, and they definitely get more targets. So, okay, the next one, I don't know. A lot of people are kind of high on Vernon Davis this week. I'm really not. You should kind of wait a week, see what happens. I mean, he's not going to acclimate himself too much to the offense. I mean, he's probably going to get some plays. He's probably going to get a few targets, but I would actually wait a week before I would even start him, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a wait-and-see approach is definitely the best option for Davis, but I think as Greg is telling you, notice Greg is saying that to sit him or he doesn't like him, but it doesn't mean don't pick him up. You always got to be a week ahead of the curve. So if you have some room, go ahead and get him. So in case he does blow up, you don't get caught up in the feeding frenzy.
Exactly. Definitely. Don't drop him. Just kind of stash him, keep him around, and then you'll be able to trade him for somebody big in a couple of weeks, I think. I think Peyton will be his new favorite target underneath. Okay, the next I got a couple of defenses I don't like. One's Buffalo versus Miami. Buffalo got gassed the last two games, 68 points in the last two they've given up. Really not playing that good, and I kind of like Miami with the new offensive coordinator. They're running the ball more. They got a more balanced offense. Tannehill's playing a little better. You know, he's got to cut down on the mistakes, but Buffalo's really been getting gassed. They're not playing good. I'm not liking Buffalo this week.
Yeah, I have no idea. The Bills' defense has been all over the place this year. They've dominated some games. They've got blown away some games. Some games they played all right. So I have no idea what Bills' defense is going to show up. I would say, though, that I would expect some success. You know, I don't know what happened when they just straight up dominated Miami the first go-round, but I'm pretty sure, especially being a division rival, there's some familiarity there, and they should have some success. Miami's offense, not really that high-powered, but we'll certainly watch that. Bills' defense has been very inconsistent this year.
Definitely. Okay, I'm going to wrap it out with Green Bay's defense. Really not liking them against Carolina. For kind of a cool stat that I saw, Carolina hasn't given up 6-plus points to any defense since week one. So that tells you something. They're scoring the points. You know, they're not turning the ball over, you know. They're not giving the defense much to work with, so I'm not liking Green Bay's defense this week against the Panthers.
Yeah, you know what? I've actually on the website, I've got the Green Bay Packers and Carolina Panthers defenses rated very closely. I think this is probably Well, actually, you know what? No, they went out to Seattle. So, yeah, I think unlike past years, the Panthers' offense has been a little bit more up to the challenge. You know, last year, the year before going out to Seattle, they wouldn't have been able to do anything. So, I do like Green Bay's D. A little banged up, though. You know, I think the key there is how effective can Carolina run the football, what type of blitz packages Green Bay is going to bring. I think they're going to cause Cam and those guys a little trouble. That's going to be, man, this, you're going over these games, which are great. This is going to be one of the best weeks of football. I felt that way last week, but this week really has some great games to watch, and this is going to be one of them. It'll be interesting to see which one of those defenses comes out on the top. You know, Green Bay has a lot of playmakers, but it's been inconsistent, and again, if they find themselves, you know, working with some short fields, if Carolina is able to get some turnovers, could lead to some easy points. But I think Mason Crosby and Graham Gano are going to be utilized a lot in this one.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, have you ever seen a week where the waiver wire was used more than this week? I mean, between the injuries and the big names on the bye, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, every league that I'm in, I got to go pick up like three guys just to get through the week with a full lineup. You know, it's got to be hammering everybody pretty hard. It's going to be a wild week to watch because there's a lot of people that wouldn't be starting this week that are the lesser names that you got to pick up to cover your byes or your injuries. And it's going to be a pretty wild week. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. No, absolutely, absolutely. I hope it ends. You know, if you remember back in fantasy football training camp and way back in July when Jordy Nelson and Benjamin went down, I just said to everybody, you know, brace yourself. This happens every year, and those two guys were not the first. We knew it was going to last, and, you know, it usually slows down. Like right about now, there's probably going to be one or two more major guys that go out, but good Lord, I mean, at this point, you know, I mean, with Romo and Roethlisberger and Foster and Childs and Bell and Steve Smith and King, I mean, this had to be the longest list. Dez, you know, in a long time. And I certainly hope that the injury bug has kind of ran its course and we can just, you know, get on with playing some football here.
Definitely, definitely. But it's like you look at the transaction, like after Tuesday's transaction, and the people that usually coast, you know, they pick up a guy here and there. Everybody in the league made two moves this week. So you don't usually see that. Most people just don't make any moves or they forget about it, but everybody made two moves this week. And that's something I don't think I've ever seen in a 12-man league, that everybody had to make some kind of move just so they could a full lineup in. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Matt Forte, he's another guy who is going to miss this week as well. All right, Greg, great job as always, man. Why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where they can find you, and we'll be looking forward to getting with you on Facebook and Twitter over the weekend.
Okay, on Facebook, I'm facebook.com/GregLaFortune. On Twitter, I'm at FFBStartOrSit. Hit me up with any questions, anytime, anywhere. I'll get back to you as soon as I see them.
All right, great job, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us. We are going to run to one quick break when we come back. This will be a short one. We'll do maybe like a 30-second break. When we come back, we'll quickly run through our Week 9 games, and it's about that time. Let's get ready for kickoff for Cincinnati and Cleveland. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the show that gives you expert fantasy advice for champions. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. We are getting ready for the Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Bengals Thursday Night Football. We know a lot of people got people going tonight. Dalton, Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard, Tyler Eifert, pretty much all the Bengals. I think Gary Barnage should be in there for you. Again, with Mr. Manziel at quarterback, certainly had fantasy owners kind of pumping the brakes on any of these Browns. Hopefully it's somewhat of a game. Let's go ahead and quickly run through this. We pretty much got you covered, you know, and again, thanks a lot to Greg LaFortune for joining us. Find him on NFLExporter.com, Week 9 Fantasy Football page. You know, if you missed the show, make sure to we archive it so you'll be able to listen. It'll be up on Blog Talk Radio in about 5 minutes. You'll be able to find it on NFLExporter.com tomorrow. We plug it on Facebook. We plug it on Twitter. But, you know, we went through the top 10 players at each position coming into Week 9. A lot of players who are going to have a big-time fantasy impact. Talked about some overall ratings. We went through our start sits. Now let's just run through these matchups really quick. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Look, tonight, Andy Dalton. You got to start all your Bengals players. Now, I think what's interesting is between A.J. Green, Marvin Jones, Tyler Eifert,
you know, usually one of those guys leads the pack. I don't know what the game plan of attack is going to be tonight, but I think Jeremy Hill is the guy that you like tonight. I think 75 rushing yards plus in a TD, maybe even two are showing me in the cards for him. Cleveland, one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. I mean, we've seen Justin Forsett, $120, Latavius Murray, $130, Chris Johnson, $108, Todd Gurley, $133. I mean, they're just giving it up left and right. So certainly expect that trend to continue. Green Bay at Carolina, you know, we talked about if you have a better option, check out Aaron Rodgers. Now, again, he is resilient. We've seen him in the past have some of his biggest games at the biggest moments. But we're looking at trends and patterns this year. And, again, if you can get Jay Cutler against at San Diego, Jameis Winston at home against the Giants, I think both of those guys have just a good of a chance. I know Derek Carr was kind of lingering a little bit, but, you know, I think Carr, Winston, especially Cutler, that should be a shootout against San Diego. If you get your hands on those guys, don't be afraid to sit Aaron Rodgers, right? The only reason you're really going to regret it if he puts up like 350 and three TDs, zero interceptions, and, you know, the Carolina Panthers, they're just not giving up that right now. So that'll be difficult. I don't know. You know, this one is a true chess match. I don't like any of Green Bay's running backs, that's for sure. I think Randall Cobb is the one guy, if anybody, who has a chance to get loose. You know, if the red zone opportunities are there and if Norman is matched up on Cobb, then, you know, James Jones possibly, him and Rodgers had a rapport. Maybe this is a week that Richard Rodgers gets into it, Devonta Adams, I don't know. This has been inconsistent for Carolina. You know, Green Bay's run defense is respectable enough. Not quite sure what type of damage we can expect for John Stewart. Greg Olsen, I think that'll be another interesting matchup as well. You know, you got two teams, Carolina fresh off of a big-time victory at home on Monday Night Football in overtime. Green Bay, you know, coming off getting thumped. So I think it's just a matter of what teams show up. But these are two best teams left in the NFC right now. One loss, no losses for Carolina. So as I mentioned, I think Graham Gano and Mason Crosby probably have a good opportunity to probably end up being fantasy leaders if it gets into a field goal shootout. Both these teams can move the ball once it gets inside the red zone. You know, things get a little bit tight. Washington at New England. This is all New England. You start everybody, start Blunt. These are the type of games that LeGarrette Blunt thrive in. So it's in New England to make it worse. And if this one gets out of hand early, then it's going to be a lot of Blunt running the football. He ends up busting a big one off. He'll also get the goal line opportunities. We know what Brady and Edelman are going to do. Gronk, he's got a 99 overall rating. There's nobody on the Redskins who can check him. Deion Lewis, the weapons are there. We like the Patriots defense, as I mentioned, 92 overall this week. I don't know for Washington. I mean, their offense is worse than Miami. So I think it's just about, you know, I don't know. You know, these games end up being funny, but to be completely honest, you know, Al Morris and Kirk Cousins, I mean, it's you know, I don't know. DeSean Jackson, maybe he's back. I don't know. It just doesn't look good for Washington. Tennessee at New Orleans. You like Drew Brees. I love Mark Ingram this week. He's got a 93 overall rating against the Tennessee defense. It's going to be either Cooks or Snead and Benjamin Watson, as we mentioned. For Tennessee, we told you, Delanie Walker, he's the one surefire guy. I think Kendall Wright, though, could be worth a look this week. Don't be afraid to start Kendall Wright. You know, he's a sleeper. We're going to make sure I get him up on Facebook and Twitter. Look, New Orleans defense still is poor. Wright is very, very quick. They don't have too many options out there, and especially if Tennessee ends up having to do nothing but pass the football the entire game because they get down so early or trying to keep up, then Kendall Wright certainly has some value this week. Don't be afraid to plug him in your lineup. Miami at Buffalo, we talked about that one. I don't like it. You know, I mean, you got to start McCoy. Tyrod's interesting. Clay maybe against his old team. Miami, I mean, I guess you got to go with Miller. We talked about Landry. I don't know. I don't like this game at all. It just has 17 to 14 written on it. Those are not fantasy numbers, but we'll see how that one shakes out. Usually, you know, Landry or Matthews are the guys who get all the targets through the air. We don't know what Ryan Tannehill is going to show up each week. St. Louis at Minnesota. This is the intriguing one. Gurley and AP. Both of these defenses stingy. Both of these defenses know that is pretty much the only thing that the other team has. So Tavon Austin, Stephon Diggs, taper expectations. I think this is another game that kind of has 20 to 13 or something like that written on it. So I think it'll just be interesting to see what Gurley and AP do. Should be a great matchup. Just wanting to watch those guys, you know, see who comes out on top. Jacksonville at the Jets. I love Chris Ivory, 94 overall rating. Don't know if Brandon Marshall is going to be able to give it a go. If he does or not, we love Eric Decker. For Jacksonville, watch Julius Thomas. You know, obviously the receivers, tough matchups. Like you said, Robinson's probably going to be on Revis Island. Hearn's going to be on Bardi. I think Julius Thomas could do some damage against those linebackers and those safeties. We watch that. Oakland at Pitt, you're playing all your studs in that one. The Giants in Tampa Bay, you're playing all your studs in that one. Atlanta, I'm not going to say San Francisco. There are no studs over there. You're playing all your studs for Atlanta. You're playing all your studs for Denver. For Indy, you're sitting Luck, especially if Hilton's not in there. Doesn't look good for Gore. Philly at Dallas, you know, I love McFadden this week. We'll see what Murray does. We'll all be keeping our eyes on Dez. Again, another one where the quarterback play is down, so field goals are probably the name of the game. Chicago at San Diego, you're starting all your studs. We'll be keeping an eye on Jeremy Langford, seeing how he fills in for Matt Forte, who's going to miss this one. This one should be a shootout. That's going to wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget, go to NFLExporter.com, go to Facebook.com/NFLExporter. We are signing out of here. Good luck in your matchups, and hit us up over the weekend. We're talking fantasy football on Facebook and Twitter. We're signing off 1100.